I'm going to throw out five names right now, and some of you are going to go, I've never heard those names in my life. And some of you are going to go, oh, yeah, I know immediately who that is. And some of you are going to go, somewhere between. Sounds familiar. No idea. I'm just going to say these quickly, and you're going to see if you can tell me what all of them have in common. Dion Branch, Hines Ward, Santonio Holm, Julian Edelman, and Cooper Kupp. Wide receivers. Keep going. Keep going. And? They're all people Jeff doesn't know. There's one more thing. They have something bigger than that in common. Keep going for us, Ann. You got this. You got this. They were all MVPs of the Super Bowl. But they all played wide receiver. Excellent, excellent. It just blows my mind. here's a game that, people go to the store and buy up all the potato chips, and they prepare for the commercials. Like, you get previews of the commercials. And it's like, you're not just a player. You're not just a valuable player. You're the most valuable player. And then we go, kind of sounds familiar. Yeah. who's he? If I had said Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, you would have said quarterbacks. I don't know if you would have gotten Super Bowl MVPs. But the point of being MVP is that what player on the winning team was most valuable to that team winning? In other words, who could they have not won without? Right? Now, what must that feel like? Because they always say this, well, you know, I couldn't have done this without my offensive line. I couldn't have done this without my teammates. But there's just got to be something weird happening there. The people think I'm more valuable than all of them. I better get a raise, right? We do this in the World Series, but an MVP in the World Series is different because the guy only gets to bat. You know, he's one of nine dudes that get to bat. He just comes up every so often. The quarterback, he's got the ball a lot. Unless the MVP in baseball is the pitcher, which doesn't happen in the World Series quite that often. Sometimes a quarterback can carry the day. You knew this when you were a kid, right? You were at recess, or you were maybe playing in your yard at home, and it came time to do, you know, the bat, where you throw the bat up and you catch it. Did you do this and you put your hand over the end of the bat? Oh, yeah, yeah, you did this. Yeah, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, right? All that whole thing, one potato, two potato. You're picking teams, and the same dude gets picked first every time because if he's on my team. We had this one kid in our neighborhood who was just huge, and, five neighborhood kids could jump on his back, and he would just carry them down the field. It was just easy. Hand the ball, he's going to run, and he's going to score, every time. So he was always the first pick every time. The whole point is for people to think, what if we didn't have him on our team? Would we win? Probably not. Worse yet, what if he had been on the other team? What if he'd been on the other teams? What if the Patriots didn't have Tom Brady all those times? What if he was on the other team? What if that was a rule in the NFL? One team got to pick a player off the other team to play for them before the game. We should recommend that. And then somebody has to come out of the stands and take their place. Yeah, that would be the best, right? What if the Avengers didn't have Tony Stark and Doctor Strange in that last battle? What if Captain Marvel had been a bad guy, girl, right? What if she hadn't been on our team? So we're back in the Psalms of Ascent. And the Psalm of Ascent today is Psalm 24. And it's a Psalm of Thanksgiving. So this is super cool. I get to lead us all in Thanksgiving. Yay. We like Thanksgiving. And the simple question of this psalm is this. What if the Lord hadn't been on our side? What if the Lord hadn't been on our side? Now, we know it's one thing for the Lord to be on our side, and it's another, right, for us to be on his. Right, that's a whole other sermon. And we'll talk about that. But imagine if he were on the other team. Right? These Psalms call him the maker of heaven and earth. Imagine being against him. Imagine having him against you. But in the Psalm of Ascent, he's not. And so there's this great thanksgiving in this psalm. And this question, what if he hadn't? What if he hadn't been for us? And in Christ today, he is for us. And we have a psalm of thanksgiving, and we ask, well, what if he hadn't been on our side? Simple question. Simple question today. What if the Lord hadn't been on our side? Quick review. 3 times a year, they're commanded in the law to go to Jerusalem, make this trip. There's sacrifices to offer. There are feasts and festivals to observe. Different times of the year, all around the Passover sacrifices and the planting of the crops and the harvesting of the crops. And sometimes you went to get justice at different times. But these were the 3 main times, and so they would travel to Jerusalem. And on their way to Jerusalem, Jerusalem was always up. You ascended on your way to Jerusalem. If you imagine, you lived 3 days out, and if you imagine, the caravan got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as you went until you were in a crowd of people. And you're saying these psalms together, so you can imagine this one, right? Let Israel say, and everybody says together. And so this is a song of ascents. Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us. This is a life or death if. And we know that the great challenge, you've read your Old Testament, you've read the prophets, you've read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you know, you've read Judges. The great challenge in all of Israel's history was to stay on the Lord's side. Right? That was always the big question. Like, are we going to stay with him? Not is he going to stay with us. It was always unquestioned that he would stay with them. But you can just kind of hear this call and response as they traveled. And this very first part, like in the language that it's written, it's really interesting. It's like a little fragment. It's very abrupt. It says simply, had it not been Yahweh, he was for us. Let Israel say, had it not been Yahweh, he was for us. Very simple. Had it not been Yahweh. Like had it been somebody else, we would have been toast. But it was him. If it had not been the Lord. Or what if the Lord had not been on our side? Imagine what would have happened if the Lord had left us. And then see what has happened because he has been faithful to us. Psalm 94, unless the Lord had given me help, I would have soon dwelt in the silence of death. Unless the Lord had given me help. So there's thanksgiving, and there's almost like a sense of relief. Like, oh. If the Lord had not been on our side. Now there's 2 parts now to follow that picture this for. They're like little pictures. And the first picture that describes what this opposition felt like, the first picture is a flood. The second picture is a trap. A flood and a trap. And there are people against them, and it feels like a flood and it feels like a trap. Let's look at the first part. When their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. This was true many times in Israel's history, right? There was always somebody angry at Israel. There was always somebody at their borders, always somebody attacking. This is even true if you place this in the mouths of Israel coming back after the exile from Babylon, coming back to a destroyed Jerusalem, and the people were still on the attack. Their anger is, they feel like they're about to be swallowed alive. Now, the next picture is of being chewed up. I was sitting at my desk this week and I realized there was two options in this psalm, being swallowed alive or being chewed up. I yelled out across the house, Kelly, would you rather be swallowed alive or chewed up? They're both bad, as far as I know. But this is it. One big swallow hole. But it's the picture of someone drowning, someone being engulfed. Do you see that? The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. My friends in Japan, whenever the anniversary of that huge tsunami that hit Japan, goodness, I don't even know how long it's been now, whenever that anniversary rolls around, they will post videos. And there's hardly anything on earth that fills me with such a sense of dread in my gut than watching those tsunami videos. When you see that coming and you see those ships and boats just tossed around like toys, and you see them sweep over the walls, and you see those houses just like playthings, and you just feel the sense of absolute helplessness of a wall of water. Like, what can you do? What can you do against a wall of water? Is there anything as unstoppable as a wave? He's describing something, just being unable to breathe, the helplessness, no way of escape. We're over our heads, God. In Psalm 88, he expresses the same thing. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. But the Lord is on our side. He even describes them. The proud waters, maybe your Bible verse says, your translation. The proud waters. Again, this is from last week, you remember? It's these arrogant, angry people. This is these arrogant, angry waves, and you're just engulfed, and you're being tossed head over heels. There's nothing hopeful about this. But yet he says, but if the Lord was on our side, like there's only one way out of this. You can't outrun it. You can only be rescued from above. The second picture, 6 and 7. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. That sounds painful. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. So it's the picture of a helpless little bird, and it's in a snare, it's in a trap. It's praise be to the Lord who's not let us be torn by their teeth. It's ripped to shreds. You picture this little bird in a snare, and it's about to be grabbed, if you will. It sounds so vicious, doesn't it? Horrible description. It says, our soul has escaped. It says, the snare has been broken. Like, the bird does not break the trap on its own, right? The bird doesn't reach into its back pocket and pull out a crowbar, right? It's a bird. The snare is broken and we escape. We get freedom. Like the bird knows there is only death coming. And suddenly, the bird is free to fly away. What happened? This small, weak thing in this strong trap, the trap breaks like a twig. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover with you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. It's like you're a little bitty wren, and this ginormous eagle just comes in and rips the trap to shreds and just rescues you and takes you away. Like these are two helpless hopeless situations. A tsunami overwhelming you, you're drowning. A little bird in a trap. No hope for rescue. He says in Psalm 25, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. There's just only one way out, is if he rescues. That's verse 8, it ends. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help, help. We've seen this a couple of times, right, in these Psalms. Help. That's the most simple prayer you can pray is help. Help me. Help me. In the name of the Lord. Like, if there's a flood or a snare, like, it sounds like something else would be helpful, right? Something physical, like a hand, maybe a foot, would be nice. Why not an attribute? Why not the strength, the omniscience, the omnipotence? Because all of that's in his name. It's all in his name. It's all there. It's all there in his name. It's not like a good luck charm where you speak it. It's like, good luck. No, there's help because in his name is all he is. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So imagine you're one of the original people who prayed this prayer, right? And you're on your way to Jerusalem and you've stopped for the night and you're camping out and you look up at that night sky and there is no light pollution because there's no electricity and you don't live near Houston. And so there's a bazillion, jillion stars, right? Maybe you can see the outlines of the hills, but it's just flooded. And you say, the one who made that is my helper. If the Lord had not been on my side when I felt overwhelmed with a flood, if the Lord had not been the one who broke that trap, where would I be? The one who made all that is my help. The Lord had not been on our side when we were attacked. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'm sure there's no one in this room who's ever felt overwhelmed or trapped. Am I right? Right. These are like overwhelmed. That's probably one of the most common feelings in our world today. Overwhelmed. Like dog paddling on a wave. But our God is with us and our God is for us. Let's make sure you're still awake. Let's say this out loud one more time. If the Lord had not been on our side, let the church say. Yes. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Maybe you could finish that one for me. Our help is in the name of the Lord. The maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Yeah. I couldn't help but think about Romans 5. When you look through Romans 5 and you look at all the ways that we are described apart from Christ, in Romans 5, you're described as powerless, you're described as ungodly, you are described as the enemy of God. And while we were yet his enemies, he sent Christ to die for us. There is a time, apart from Christ, when you're not for the Lord. And you guys are butting heads. You're opposed. And he steps in, and he makes the first move. And he bridges the gap so that we can say he's for us. What then shall we say? If God is for us, Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? The flood is against us. The trap is against us. But God is for us. Do you realize that? How incredibly for you he is in Jesus. He is eternally, eternally on your side. Let me take this way. Let's go all the way to the end and work our way back. Because we're not necessarily on a pilgrimage the same way they were. We're seeking the kingdom first. We have a walk, if you will, through this world as we seek the kingdom. But we saw in Revelation that there is a holy city, a new Jerusalem coming to us. And this world is going to be made new. There's going to be a brand new holy city coming to us. So let's imagine that's happened. Let's imagine we're there. And we're all brand spanking new, and we're all just kind of looking at each other going, wow, you're looking good. Yeah, thank you very much. It's my new body. Just got it. Yeah, and we've got our roles, we've got our responsibilities, we've got our house, we've got our garden out back, and everything's brand new. I don't know how this will work, but everything sad has become untrue. And let's just imagine that somehow Jesus lets us see every single way that this verse came true. Like he shows you every time. Now right here, you didn't even know I did this, but if I hadn't been on your side right here, and you don't know I did this either, but if I hadn't been on your side right here, and here's a time you asked me for help and I was on your side. You remember that? Yeah, that one. This one, you don't know I did this, but I did this too. And here's another time I was on your side. Here's another time I was on your side. And here's another time and another time and another time and another. And maybe he'll just do that slowly so that just every day we'll have something new to rejoice in, where he just shows us time and time and time and time and time and time and time again, where it'll just be, wow, if the Lord hadn't been on my side, if the Lord hadn't been on my side, I was in a flood. I was overwhelmed. And the Lord was on my side, the maker of heaven and earth. Like, how many times will he be able to say that when everything is brand new? Thousands or more. Millions maybe, I don't know. How many times a day is he doing it? So now we come to today. I jump to today. And I bet you could look back and say, yep, I can tell you about a time I felt like I was drowning. I can tell you about a time I felt like I was trapped, and I asked for help, and the Lord broke a trap. And the Lord rescued me from overwhelm, and I was drowning. And I called on his name, and he rescued me. And I don't know where I would be today if the Lord had not been on my side. Got one of those, I bet, or two, or ten. Like, where would I be? Where would I be? But I want to do something a little different here, though. But I want to take it forward, let's say, 2 years. Because it might be that 2 years from now, you look back at today and go, wow, if the Lord hadn't been on my side then. Like, on your side through what you're going through now, and you look back 2 years from now and go, whoa, look at what he did. Like, that felt overwhelming. That felt too much. That felt like I was just head over heels knocked over by a wave. Like, can you ask for help right now and even imagine him taking you somewhere completely unexpected and doing something that's immeasurably more than you would ask or imagine? To where you'll be able to say, wow, if the Lord hadn't been on my side. Like, What if you take it forward like that? He's the maker of heaven and earth, right? And he didn't have, like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Like, he didn't have, like, a universe junkyard where he went and got spare parts and said, you know what, I think I can make a new thing out of this. And he just got his hammer and his cordless drill, and he just made something. Like it says, he made something out of nothing, and he said, let there be. Like, his imagination is just phenomenally, just his creativity and his imagination, just to be able to think and make stuff appear with a word. Like, I look at my stuff, and I can't imagine a way out of the flood or out of a trap. And he's like, Dean, I've got 30 ways out of that. I'm just trying to pick the best one for you. You know what I mean? Okay, you made heaven and earth. I'm for you. So just, I'm thinking of those songs we sang today. Can you hear him? Like, there's what I say, but there's what he says about us. Can you hear him saying for you today, I am for you? Can you hear him saying to you today, I've given you a story if the Lord had not been on your side, but can you imagine that I'm going to give you a lot more stories about if I had not been on your side? Just know that I'm your helper. I am your helper. Let's pray. Lord, if there's anyone who came in here today feeling like maybe the Lord wasn't on their side, God, I pray that they would not leave here unconvinced. Lord, if there's anything the cross of Jesus Christ tells us is that we are loved beyond anything this world could have ever thunk up. We are loved. We are loved. You're for us. So I pray, God, that we would leave here convinced of that. I thank you that we could take turns. We could all take a mic and say, let me tell you about the time the Lord was on my side. Don't know where I'd be without it. And we'd all probably have a story or 10 to tell. Lord, I pray that you'd give us all faith to believe that a year and two and 10 will have more, and they'll be amazing. And I thank you that there's a new heaven and earth coming. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we do not have any sovereign enemies. Not a one of our enemies are sovereign. You are the maker of heaven and earth. Not our enemies. You hold all things together. Not our enemies. You have the last word. Not our enemies. Nothing in this world has the final say. You have the final say, and you are on our side. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Give us faith to live this out. Give us gratitude to sing about it. In Jesus' name, we pray.